Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Oh, it's you Sunday. You got to be happy louder than that. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Yeah. So it is one of my favorite days of the year because I don't have to do anything. That's a lie. But the first part was completely true. It is one of my favorite days. This is the day that you get to see what I get. Oh, man. It's not fair to sing a song like that, make me cry before I come in. I'm going to cry anyway. It's just not fair. But you get to see what I get to see every week. The giftings and the sweetness and the honoriness of every one of these youth. Sure, they know it. But you get to see what God's doing in them. You get to hear what God's done over the last year. You get to see them get pushed off the ledge to do things they may not want to do, but I have full confidence that God has taken them that way. And so I get to see them blossom. I get to hear things like, I don't want to do that. But I get to say, guess what? But they do it. They may come at me and say, I don't want to do that. And I'll say, you know what? I know you can do it. And they'll give it their best shot and they'll work up there. And so you saw Elijah up here earlier. Yeah, so proud of him. Step up here and just to again to do things, to show the giftings, to know that they are not the church of the future, but the church now. And so I just love this Sunday. And I tell you, it's going to be hard to get through this one for many reasons. One, my son's one of the seniors today. Two, as I was sitting at home this weekend, I got to thinking, this is the first group of seniors that I've been able to walk completely through in their time, even from middle school to now. Yeah, I've loved every year that I've been here, but this one is just a special time. And so it's just going to be a joyous and hard day. So if I cry a few times, just forgive me. Cry with me, okay? And so this last year, guys, we all would agree, it's been hard, right? So we've had COVID and been stuck inside and about spring break last year. You know, we came to the end of spring break and we found out we weren't going to get to meet inside and we weren't going to get to come together. It's one of our favorite times on, you know, Thursday nights to do that. And so we had to punt just like everybody else did. And we had to switch to online Zooms. And again, it was one of those things. And so we have a leadership team. You're going to meet all three of them today. But we all like, this sucks. Not going to lie. We don't want to do it. We want to meet in person. But what I love again is that they stepped forward and said, it's important that even if it's not in phase, that we continue to meet. Because we need each other, we need community, we need encouragement, we need accountability. And so we continued to do that, and we would meet on Zoom, and then we'd break into small groups, and these guys would take over, and they'd still have their accountability and all these kind of things. And so they pushed through every week, and I was so proud of them. And then we finally got back. So we'd missed two retreats that we usually do every year. We didn't get to a mission trip the last couple of years because of COVID. And so, again, it was hard, but finally... Finally, the time came. Church began to meet again. And so we got back together as a leadership team and we talked about what were we going to do. And it was just about the time we were going to get to have what we call a D-Now. And so D-Now is called, it's a Discipleship Now weekend. And it's always a sweet time. We get to come together and we get to raid other people's houses in here. And so next year, if you're new and you get an email from me and it says D-Now, you might not want to read it. Actually, it's a lie. I want you to read it because here's the thing I love about D-Now. What we try to do is we take the youth and we spend a weekend in discipleship, hardcore, but we also have fun. But what we do is because I want you guys, again, to see what I get to see all the time. I want you guys to learn how to pray for every youth in this room. I want you guys to be part of that as much as you can. So not every one of you can be here on a Thursday night. Not every one of you can go on a mission trip, but you might be able to open your house and let some youth come take over and just get to know them. And so that's why we do part of D-Now and ask you to do those things. And so next year, honestly, if you see the D-Now coming and you think, man, I can handle 4 or 5 kids in my house, let me know. We'd love to send them your way. But D-Now this year, because we hadn't got a retreat in a while, we thought, you know what? Let's get away. Let's go and see what God can do and we begin to pray, God, what is it that you want us to see, to accomplish, that happen in our hearts when we get to D now? And so there was two big things, unity and to hear his voice. Because again, we'd been meeting on Zoom, and even though we knew each other, we just didn't know each other as well as we wanted to. We had some new members that have come up out of middle school. And so we got away and we spent a weekend. It was such a sweet time. And so there's a few pictures. If you bring up the next slide for me. So some of these are, so the top right is from this weekend, the bottom right. And so in the middle there, you can, the bandana dude is Aiden. So we just had a sweet time. And so one of the best times this weekend, though, so I don't know if you can read my shirt. It says Yeet. I'm not going to lie. When I got the shirt, I wasn't really sure what that meant. I just thought it'd make me look like a cool youth pastor because I got it and it was free. But we had this. One of the games was Gen Z lingo. So it was Bible Gen Z, different Gen Zs. There's all these different words. And so Ariana, the girl on the far right, top right, the lady, woman on the far top right. So we went against the head-to-head. I won. Barely, 1 point. But I got to pie her in the face because of it. So it was just a sweet, sweet time. And God, so as we prayed, God, what is it you want to accomplish this weekend? He did. Like, he brought more unity than we've ever had. He brought us hearing his voice. And there was just other things that God did in that. And it was just a sweet, sweet time. And it was the perfect way to kick off the rest of the year to hear what God was going to do. And so we spent the next, you know, several months just on Thursday nights, get into his word. And we did, well, I love, and a couple of you were beneficiaries of these. One of our student leaders, Alyssa, would lead a time of, God, what is it you want to say? And she would pray and ask, God, who is it you want us to talk to? Who is it you want to give words to? And she would lead this sweet time. And what I love is everyone, sorry, I'm losing my voice. Every one of our youth would take time. Okay, God, what is it that you want to speak to this person? And out of boldness, they would write that down and we would forward that on. And so I love those things. And so we want, how do we hear God's voice? How do we get into his word? How do we study? How do we pray? How do I battle the things that are in my mind? And we have discipleship, and so we have small groups, and I love how these guys move. And so then April came, and we're like, oh man, May is going to be here before we know it. And it is. Can you believe it? It's crazy, but it's here. So we spent 4 Thursdays just seeking after God. And the only direction they got from me was ask God what it is that he wants to teach and talk and give us today. And so we spent 4 Thursdays doing that. And man, I can't wait for you to hear what God has done. Because here's the thing, guys. Again, they're not the church of tomorrow. They are the church of today. And God is speaking through them. And so this morning, it is a sweet time. I'm going to love every piece of it. And I'm, like I said, when the video comes up of my son, I'm going to cry. And, you know, I'm not crying unless it comes up. And, you know, probably, you know, I'm going to cry. It is what it is. But God is speaking through them. I've got to see it already. And so I just pray that you'll open your ears and your eyes and your hearts. Just be open. This is not just you Sunday. God is still moving and speaking today. And it's a sweet, sweet time. And so here's what our big idea is going to be for today. The next three speakers, teachers, maybe someday preachers, are going to dig into with you. So it'll be up here on the screen. So here's just the big statement. As followers of Jesus, we should be people who are thankful in all circumstances, who urgently wait on him, and who are obedient to him by doing good. And so as you listen this morning, as you're open, Holy Spirit, let him speak these things over you, and then take these things and apply them this week. And so I'm going to step off the stage and I'll be back up at the end, but I'm going to pray real quick. And you'll have two videos and one in-person teacher today. And so again, God, as we move, as we sit, as you move, God, I just pray that our eyes are open, our ears are open, our hearts are open, God, to receive what it is that you have this morning, Lord. We know you're already moving, God. We know you're already speaking, God. We've seen you move in worship. God, we're just going to see you move in your word. And so, God, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hey, church. If you don't know me, my name's Blake, and I'm a senior this year, and I'm part of the student leadership team for Antioch Youth Ministry. So I'm here to talk about being thankful. And there are a ton of verses I could pull for this that would get my point across, because there's no shortage of verses about being thankful in the Bible, which would tell you something just about how important being thankful is. But 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 is great because it just about sums everything up, and it goes like this. It says, "Always be joyful, never stop praying, and be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." So that's us. We belong to Christ Jesus. So what should we be taking away from that verse? We should be thankful and under all circumstances, right? So how do we do that? Step one is never stop praying and praising Jesus and never stop being joyful. And step two is just repeat step one and do that under all circumstances. Just do exactly what the verse says. And I know that's not as easy as it sounds. So what does that look like? I can't tell you exactly what it looks like for you, but for me, it's first and foremost just being aware. So say you're on the way to work. Do you see somebody's car broken down on the highway? Pray for them. There's a thought of a loved one pop into your head. Pray for them. And be thankful for the little and the big things, right? So more recently for me, my grandma's been in the hospital with some serious health problems that we weren't expecting her to recover from. We went down to see her a couple weekends ago, and on the way there, our whole family was just praying and praying for healing if it was in his will. And over that car ride on the way there, it just seemed like things kept getting worse and worse, and more complications kept getting piled on top of other complications to a point where by the time we got there, our hopes were really, really low, right? And we weren't expecting her to make it out. Over the weekend as we were there, the opposite happened. One by one, each of those complications were either resolved or turned out to not be nearly as bad as they had originally thought. Until now, she's home and expected to make a near full recovery. For whatever God's reasoning, he's chosen to give my family more time with her, and we're so, so thankful. So why do we praise him? Because he's good. His love endures forever, and we belong to him. So be thankful and praise him. Now we've got a video of some of our other youth telling us what they're thankful for.
Hello, my name is Elijah, and these last couple weeks, we have been talking about being thankful in youth group, which is awesome. And I am here to tell you what I'm thankful for. I am thankful for God for helping me with my depression and bringing me out of that, and all the people he has put in my life for that.
Hi, my name is Samuel, and I am thankful that God gave me a new family.
My name is Seth, and I'm here to talk about what I'm thankful for, and what I'm grateful for is that I was adopted into a loving family.
My name is Nancy, and I'm thankful that God blessed me with a little sister.
Hi, I'm Aiden Danz, and I'm thankful for my family that's been there through the hard times and the good times.
Hi, my name is Alyssa Danz, and I'm thankful that the Lord has brought me through one of my darkest times, and I'm now finding fruit in him.
Hey, I'm Jacob Johnson, and I'm thankful that my youth group has been there for me through the struggles.
Good morning, church. Good morning, good morning. Okay, I'm going to start. Okay, I'm going to start us off with some prayer. So, dear God, we come to you right now, God, and we're just so thankful for this time that we just have to be with our church, God, and our friends and our family, God, and just give you thanks, God, because you deserve it, and you are worth so much more than we can give, God, but we want to pour ourselves out. So yeah, God, I pray that you would be using me today, God, in great ways. And yeah, just pray this all in your name. Well, like I already said, good morning, church. Good morning. I am Aiden Danz. I am part of our student leadership group for our youth group. And I'm going to go ahead and just kind of jump right into what I'm talking about. As Jimmy kind of said, you know, like a month ago, we started planning for this Youth Sunday takeover. It's always a good time. But yeah, as we were praying about, like, you know, what to talk about, themes, etc., I heard God say waiting. I was like, okay, that seems kind of like an interesting topic. Let's pray about that some more. So I said waiting, but I heard specifically waiting urgently, right? So I was like, seems like a contradiction, but that works. So what I feel like he was saying is, when you're in a situation where you feel like you're waiting, right? When you're at a plateau, when you feel like, I don't know, you might be stuck, he's saying to wait urgently and to call upon him, right? And we don't want to just wait with no expectations, right? We want to be hopeful in our waiting. So waiting, defined as of Oxford, I don't know, the action of staying where one is, or the delaying of an action until a particular time. Here's a little bit about what the Bible says to do while you're waiting. Psalms 27:14 says, wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord. Okay. One of my points is we wait with hope in him, right? So what is our hope in him? We have new life in him, right? Jesus has died on the cross. He rose again. And through that, he's given us the option to choose him, for him to be our savior and give us new life, right? And at, like, the end of our lives, we have the alternative hope of, like, going to heaven, right? Not alternative, but, like, adding on to that. Like, heaven is our hope, right? We're not going to die and go to hell, right, and burn. We have hope that we know at the very end, when Jesus calls us home or he comes back, that we have heaven waiting for us and that he's preparing a place for us, right? Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out to completion, like Steve said earlier, until the day of Christ Jesus, right? So he who has given you new life, he who has brought you through whatever horrific things have happened in your life, is not going to stop just by presenting himself in a situation where you needed help, right? He's going to carry it out through your entire life. He's going to carry it out to completion, right? Until the day of Christ Jesus, whenever he comes back or whenever you die, right? He's not going to stop just by giving you new life. And that's it, right? He's going to be there waiting for you. He's going to be there through your entire life, every day, every minute, every second. God's there waiting. Romans 12:12 says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. What does that say? Pretty simply, right? Be joyful in your hope. You don't want to just have hope and be like waiting around for something to happen. Be like, God, what? I've been praying. I've been doing all this stuff. Like, why has nothing happened? We need to be joyful, right? We need to be joyful because he is our hope in the waiting, right? We need to be confident in waiting in that hope. Patient in affliction. There is going to be affliction. There already has been affliction. There is affliction, right? Pain is always going to be around. It's never going to leave. So we need to be patient in that. Sometimes we're like, God, take this away from me now, God, or just get rid of it. But, like, we need to be patient in that because God's timing is perfect. Amen. Faithful in prayer. It just sums it up right there. Like, you need to be faithful in your prayer. You need to be continuous. It needs to be every day, all the time. You need to be faithful in that. And my next point is we wait with expectation. So as I was praying about this point, right, God gave me this, like, picture. I was like, okay. And he showed me a line, right? Not necessarily, like, a line, but people waiting in line, okay? So I was like, interesting. Who here likes to wait in line, by the way? Nobody. Jimmy? Okay. Have fun with that. Okay. But, like, okay, he showed me this, right? And we're waiting in line and we're trying to get to the front of the line, right? Like you are with most lines. And, but, like, God showed me at the end of our line is where we die, right? This is our lifetime. And he's showing me, like, right at a certain point, God gives you, like, this amazing package. You're like, whoa, I have eternal life now. You open it up and you're healed, right? You have this power all of a sudden. You have this patience. You have this hope that only comes through God, right? You open it up and you're now waiting in line, but you have a new hope, right? You have a new joy. You have more expectation for the end of the line, right? You're more thankful that you get to go to heaven someday and you're not just going to end the line. It's eternal line now. It doesn't end. It keeps going. So that's what I saw, and that's what I heard from God. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. So God is preparing something for us, right? That's what he's doing here, and that's what he's doing now as we go out through our lives. He's continually preparing something for us. And we feel like we get so many gifts here on earth, like his presence, his love for us. But like when we get to heaven, it's going to be so much greater, right? We have like no idea. It says literally no human mind have conceived the things of God. So even if you try to think about it, you'll never be able to even think about what God is preparing for us. Ecclesiastes 7:8 says, the end of the matter is better than its beginning. The patience is better than the pride, right? So we need to be patient instead of getting prideful, getting angry with God, being like, God, I've been praying every day. I've been doing all these things. Why has nothing happened? We need to be patient, right? God gives us that patience because like we could not do it by ourselves. Trying to white knuckle it and with your patience and with your own willpower, it doesn't happen. And then the end of the matter is better than the beginning. Like, yet again, heaven's going to be so great. And it amounts to, like, it's so much better than the life here on earth, even though we feel like it's great because, you know, God's with us. His presence is with us always, wherever we go, right? But, like, it's going to be so, we can't even think about it. It's just going to be so awesome. Then my next point is waiting patiently in all circumstances. Psalms 37:7 says, be still before the Lord, wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, and do not when they carry out their wicked schemes. But so like people are going to do wicked things, right? That is the nature of the earth since we chose sin and brought it into our lives, right? But now since Jesus, right, he gave us the option to not have to carry out these wicked schemes, right? He gave us the option to choose him, choose to follow him every day, and choose to try to be like him, you know what I mean? And when we mess up, when we carry out wicked things, that he's there forgiving us, right? He has an option that he died on the cross that we can be forgiven, right? And my next verse is James 5:7-8. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for his land to yield valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. That's so great. Okay, yeah. So what I was hearing through this verse is like, we think we have correct timing. And that's like, we plan things out. We get to do that in our daily lives. We're like, oh yeah, I got to be there at a certain time, do this. There's a schedule, right? God's schedule looks nothing like ours. Like he might completely disrupt your day's plans just by speaking a word to you. And we need to be open and listening for that just in case he does, because he speaks, right? Okay. So I was just kind of blown away about like, I don't know. I'm not a farmer. I was like, oh, you can get crops and they're valuable crops. There's a difference. But I was like, God's timing is so perfect that you can think things are good now, right? You can think that, be like, oh, everything's going great. This is valuable crops, right? But Jesus says, I have something so much better for you. It's going to be my timing. It's going to be perfect, right? It's going to be exactly the way it's planned to be. And that's our valuable crop, right? We need to be looking forward to his timing, not our timing, even though it may be hard, just to be open with that patience and waiting, right? And then my last like point is Psalms 40 verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned and heard my cry. So he hears us, right? It's not like he's just like scrolling through Facebook or something, right? He's always listening, right? So sometimes when we feel like we're alone, we feel like we're alone. He doesn't hear us. We're not connected. It's just me talking or thinking. And it's like, just one way, but that's never true. God is always there. Even when we choose to do sinful things and horrible things, that God is there listening to us. He hears our cries and he's always there waiting. So how do we apply this? First thing that came to my mind is like asking God for patience is never a bad idea. Like there's not a time where you're like, I don't know about today, but like maybe tomorrow. Like literally asking God every day to give you that patience with whether it's people, situations, yourself. Like it's never a bad idea to ask God, be like, hey, I need this patience for this situation. I need this hope. I need this joy. I need whatever you can give me, God, and he'll answer that, right? He'll give you peace. He'll give you patience, right? Okay, that's kind of it's really all I had. It's kind of an abrupt ending, but okay. If you turn your eyes up to the screen, next we have Alyssa Danz.
Good morning, church. For all of you that don't know me, my name is Alyssa Danz, and I am a student leader here at Antioch, Wichita. So today we've talked a little bit about diving into what thankfulness means to us, and also learned about the practice that is patience. So now I want to jump into what our reaction should be to the both of these, and that is obedience. So we spent some time as a youth group just praying about what specific points apply to obedience, and the Lord gave us these few things. It says, don't give up or get tired. Don't be afraid. Use your gifts. Do what he did for us. Help the least of these, and we are representatives of God. So I'm going to take a few of these and focus specifically on them during my time. So the first one is don't be afraid. So the verse for this one is Isaiah 41:10. And it says, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. So the commands are kind of what I want to focus on in this, and they shouldn't scare us. The don't shouldn't scare us, like don't be afraid or don't be discouraged, but they should be comforting in their firmness and the promises that follow. So the Lord doesn't just say don't be afraid or don't be discouraged, but he follows that up with a promise. So he says, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. He doesn't just leave us with just these commands. He leaves us with promises and things that he says he's going to do. So he asks us to simply obey and do what he's asking, and he has these promises laid out for us. So the second one is do it as a representative. So the verse for this one is Colossians 3:17. It says, and whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So the definition of a representative is a person chosen or appointed to act or speak for another or others. The importance of this verse is the obvious role the Lord has placed upon us that follow him to be his representatives. He asks us in whatever we do to do it in the way that Jesus would. And there's a lot of examples in the Bible that we can use as reference for whatever situation we're currently facing. The third one is don't get tired of doing good. The verse for this one is Galatians 6:9, which says, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. It's easy in times of drought to get stuck in our own emotions. Like, why hasn't the Lord provided in this specific way yet? Why can't I see him working? I've tried and tried and tried, and nothing seems to be working out the way that I wanted it to. But this verse encourages us that just because we can't see the momentum or see that something is changing doesn't mean that something isn't growing. So even in these moments and seasons, we must continue to do good because that is what the Lord has asked us to do. So a little story from my own personal life. My family and I went to England in 2019 on a family mission trip for a month. And so we led a team over there. And one day my brother, younger brother and I, Aiden, we were heading back with our friend Lauren. We were heading back with her to our church that we were volunteering at. And we encountered this homeless woman that was there just right outside this shop. And so Lauren took the time to talk to her. And we very quickly realized that she did not speak any English. And so we did our best to just communicate with her and just talk with her. We ended up being able to bless her by buying her some food within the local market that was right there. And so we just got to like talk with her a little bit and pray with her. And there's actually, she kept pointing at her feet. And so there was an obvious need. She didn't have any shoes on or anything like that. And so we kind of just hopped right to it. There was a thrift store just right next door. And so we ended up going inside and just kind of looking around. We really weren't sure like what size she was or anything, again, because she didn't speak any English. And so we just kind of spent time looking through all the shoes, and I just felt like the Lord was just really drawing me to this specific pair. And so I was like, I don't know what, but I really think these are the ones that we should get. And so we ended up buying them, and sure enough, just as God works, they were the perfect fit for her. And so it's just like small moments like this where the Lord showed up. In not necessarily like a giant way as we would think, like, you know, maybe he did some giant miracle, but he did show up and he ended up using us to bless this woman. And so I just want to leave you with this verse, Matthew 25:40. The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers or sisters of mine, you did for me." Obedience doesn't have to be a little yes or a giant yes. It just has to be a yes to Jesus. I want to encourage you with that, family, and just say yes.
Man. Just say yes. Man, what would have happened in my life if I had learned that at that age versus 25 years old when I was? Be thankful in all circumstances. Wait patiently for him. Because even when I don't see you working, you're moving. Even when I don't see it, I know you're moving. Lord, you're always with me. So I can be thankful because I have hope in you and I can wait patiently. But as I wait for your return, Lord, I can be obedient. I can say yes in the small and the big. Right? Because sometimes it's the big ones that are hard. It's the little ones that we miss because we're not listening. But it's the big ones that scare us. But I can say yes because he is with me. Man. Such good words. God is moving. We had a word spoken over our youth years ago, and we've said it many a time up here, but I think it's been a while, that our kids would be a prophetic generation. The Lord is moving. We're seeing that definitely in our youth. We're seeing it in our kids' ministry. Man, I can't wait. I can't wait. Lord, man, do I love Jesus? Do I want to go home? Absolutely. But I can't wait while the Lord tarries to see what these peeps are going to do from this day forward. Especially these three that are about to come up. Come on, guys. So, this is Youth Sunday. But again, one of the really cool, great things about this is it's also Senior Celebration Sunday. So I get to embarrass them today. They think they're coming to sit down, but they're actually coming to get pied in the face. Because no. Just hold that. It's on. Just go ahead and have a seat.
It's on. Good.
It's on. So, guys, this is Senior Celebration. These are three of our seniors that are getting ready to be launched into the world. We say in kids' ministry, we're launching world-changing disciples. Every one of these is a world-changing disciple. And I don't say that just because this one is actually mine. They're all three mine. But I've seen God move in them. I've seen in the hard times when they came around each other and they prayed and they said, "God is with us. You can make it through it." I saw when Elijah had a birthday during COVID and we couldn't come together. And Alyssa, one of them, planned a birthday party so that we could go celebrate him. When times were hard, they would go to the store and buy cherry sours for the person that really wanted it so they'd feel like they weren't alone. I've seen them in St. Louis pray, "God, what is it you want us to do today?" Listen, break up into small groups and go obediently do that. I've seen them come around each other and lay hands and pray. Man, I can't wait to see the day for the next year. Because they're all, unfortunately, leaving us for at least a year. I'll let them tell you where they're going. But it's exciting times, and yet sad. And so we're going to just ask them a few questions and let them tell you what God's been doing in their life and just walk with them a little bit. And at the end, we're going to take a time, and we're going to pray over all of our youth that are in this room, but especially these guys as they get ready to launch into the world to be continue to be world-changing disciples. So I'm going to let them just introduce themselves. And so at this point, if you guys would, introduce yourselves and kind of tell us what's the next year look like for you. So just where are you going? What are you doing? and why? And so just, Levi, we'll start with you.
For those who don't know, I'm Levi Huff. I'm actually going to be, hello, hi, how's it going? Anyways.
Hey, it's just going to scroll through, you'll see all three of them.
Man, those glasses look good to me. Should I just say
no? No, just go. It's going to scroll through. All three of you are going to scroll. This is going to scroll while you guys
are. So, yeah, Levi Huff, and next year I'm going to be attending Sterling College, where I'm on scholarship. Oh, there's me, yeah. Look at that bucket. Anyways, so I'm attending Sterling College. I'm going to be playing football and baseball there, and I'm going to be doing a degree in business, but also the side of coaching and instruction.
Okay. So. Yeah, it's your turn.
Hello. My name is Alyssa Dance, for all of you that don't know me. This next year, not really sure what it looks like, but for sure I'm going to go to a D school in Fort Collins, Colorado. Oh gosh. yeah, and so I'm just really excited for what the Lord's going to do in that time. And
Yeah, my name is Blake Hudson, and I'm also dedicating a year of my life to discipleship school in Antioch, Fort Collins.
Awesome. Just hang on to it, Blake. And so yeah, they're all going to different places, and just they've all prayed. That's what I love about these three. And so Levi, actually, you know, he's we kicked him out last year. And so he's actually in our young adult leadership and working with that, but young adult house church. But he was part of our leadership team too. And so again, I got the opportunity to walk with all three and see them lead well with our group. And so, but they've all prayed and they've all, but God, what is it you want to do? And again, man, when I was that age, I was like, not. What is it I'd like to do? Where are the girls? You know, and so, but these guys have, they pray, what is it God wants us to do? And so I love that. And so I asked them one question. I don't know if any of them actually have this, so I'm just going to open and see if anybody's willing to answer this question or not. But does anybody have a most embarrassing moment they want to share? All right.
I came up with one.
It's kind of funny. I was texting Jimmy, and I'm like, I have not a story at all. So I've been asking everybody all day, and still nobody got one for me. But I ended up coming up with one. So we went on a youth retreat. It was like 2 years ago. I don't even remember. Anyways, so... What?
What story you're talking about?
That's fair. Anyways, so Jimmy had asked me to do a little speaking a little bit because it was our church's turn. And so he gave me a little bit of time to prepare, but I can't focus. So yeah, anyways, I get up there and I start talking. Just the first thing that comes to my head, it came out. And so at the very end, I kind of just finished my set and just stood there for like 30 seconds, not knowing what to do. And finally look over at Jimmy and just say, help. And he runs over and he goes, there we go. Thank you. Great job leaving. I'm like, thanks. See you guys. Anyways. Yeah. So that's my embarrassing story.
He actually did a great job. He did pause and freeze a little bit. But he did a great job. Awesome. Anybody else want to share? You don't have to. I told him I didn't have to. I just wanted to see if somebody would come up with one.
Literally just like any youth video.
Cool. Yes.
So, the embarrassing parts are coming. There's a video I can't show today, but we're going to have a graduation party. So I'll just tell pieces of it because I love it. So when we first moved here, oh my God, there were babies. And so they would all go down into the basement of their house and they would make evangelism videos. And they unknowingly know me well enough, they did it on my phone. And so I have all those videos. They will come out at the graduation party. So if you're there, you'll see them. And so... It's actually pretty cool, honestly. Oh yeah, some of the older Dan's kids are in there too, so, and the younger. So it'll be a good time. Okay, so these next questions you guys are all going to answer, and so we'll start with, what advice would you give to the youth? And we have an amazing middle school group coming up next year. Pray for me. So what advice would you give them that you feel like God has taught you over your time in youth, over your time here at Antioch? And so what's your advice that you would give these guys that are here and those that are coming up next year?
So my advice would be the time is now. You need to start going now. You know, God's going to be calling you now. He's calling you now, later down the road. If you're thinking that you can just keep doing whatever you're doing later down the road, and then suddenly at the very last second come to Christ and then live the last 30 seconds of your life for him, it's more than likely not going to happen. If you're not willing to give what you have now, you're not going to be willing to give that a little bit down the road later. On top of that, even those of us who are believers, the time is now to start obeying what God has for you. If God's calling you to go out and do something, if you don't do it now, they could miss the opportunity. That can mean a life is not saved. So the time is now to follow God and who he is, what he says.
Amen. Thank you.
I would say, honestly, I feel like something, just like make your faith your own. It's very important that you're not just piggybacking off our parents. We talk about this all the time, but it is legitimately what is going to change your life. It's what changed my life, and you have to make it your own. You have to come and to the Lord by yourself, and you have to have that moment with him where you are just crying out, saying that you can't do it on your own anymore. Because when you're trying to do it in your own power, you just feel powerless and you just feel like, yeah. So I think just coming to the Lord and just having that moment with him and having grace for yourself, really, really important. And just pushing into the people around you that are also running after the Lord is very, very helpful in your walk with the Lord. Amen. So, yeah.
Yeah. So my advice, it sounds super easy, but is definitely one of the hardest things that I've ever had to learn, is just believe in the power that you have in prayer. Mm. And like I said, it sounds easy, but it's one of those things that you just have to keep doing and keep believing and keep forcing yourself to do it and watching as you see God just moving through your prayer. And yeah.
So. Yeah. Those are good words for all of us, right? And all three of those. And so let's go back to a fun one. And again, you can all answer or not. What is your favorite, either just high school or church memory?
I'll start because I have the microphone. Okay. So I was actually, it was at our restored, Servant's Heart Award service. And I was sitting right back there, right behind Tyson, who had the awards in his bag. And he had left the bag sitting in front of me, which I was unaware of at the time. So I stood up for worship and I looked down and I saw my name plastered on one of the awards in front of me. And yeah, so I mean, at the time, a lot more terrifying than I was excited, but now it's a cool memory. So
can I interject as dad? That was a sweet time. Because I didn't pick it. Other people saw what I saw. So yeah, it did. Rob made me pray over him up here, made me cry in front of everybody like that. But it was a sweet time just to see, to know what God was doing in him and coming out. So okay, back to Pastor.
Well, I also got a Servant's Heart Award, so whatever. Just kidding. I would say, I mean, there's like a lot of good moments, and my memory is not that good. So, but I think just this past summer, we went to Montana. I don't know if you remember that time that you went with us. But yeah, that was just really amazing, just being able to go and just see all this amazing stuff that the Lord had made in the mountains and just wildlife and stuff. It was like insane. So that was probably one of my favorites for sure, just seeing the beauty that the Lord has created in the world.
Stay on the edge of a snow cliff and hope it didn't fall.
I stood very far back. I was not dumb like some of us.
So I did not get a Servant's Heart Award.
You had one at all of our
I appreciate it. Anyways, so my favorite story, we went to St. Louis spring break 2-3 years ago, and I remember us all being up at like 1 or 2 a.m., like exhausted as heck, super tired, and all just playing games, trying not to cry. So that was a great time. I love that.
Yeah. No, that was a sweet time. Absolutely. We like to cry on this place if you don't know. God is good, so we cry a lot. So so I guess the last question I have for you guys is, where do you feel like God's going to, you know, you could say 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, it doesn't matter. Where do you feel maybe where God's calling you, or where do you pray that maybe you want to be 5-10 years from now? You pick your time. You tell me, what does that look like for you, or you hope?
Okay, so the question he sent me was 10 years, so I'm just going to go with that. But anyway, so 10 years from now, I either see myself either playing professional baseball, either like minor leagues or something like that, or if that doesn't happen, I would like to own a baseball team over like summers and stuff like that, coaching kids and bring them up. So.
Levi likes baseball.
Oh, really?
Legitimately, my answer to this question when I was like thinking about it is literally wherever the Lord wants me to be. Like, I have never been one to like I mean, I love planning stuff, but like when it comes to my future, I've always been like, whatever the Lord wants me to do. Because honestly, I'm like, if I were to plan something, he would just probably be like, this is what you're going to do. So I just, at this point, I'm like, whatever you want, Lord, is what I want to do. And that's where I want to be in 10 years. So yeah.
For sure. Yeah. This is mine. No, sorry. Come on.
I concur.
Smart boy.
Is that? I don't know. That was legitimately my answer. Also, when I was going through the questions, I mean, I just want to be wherever God wants me to be. I don't know.
That's the thing. We don't know. We don't know what God's going to put in our heart. But when He does, like Levi, I mean, he's loved sports his whole life, and he's always been a light in the sports that he's played at. And so that's a desire God's put in him. And that's the desire he's moving forward on. And you know, and so that's be obedient and say yes. He knows that God might change that, but he's going to move forward. And, you know, and just be able to say, okay, God, whatever it is, yes. I mean, again, that's what we're talking about today, right? Yes, Lord, the big and the small. And so, again, I completely love these three. And it's been an amazing time and to be able to walk with them and see what God's done in their lives. And I'm just looking forward to the future to see that. And so, you know, as we wrap up this time, Lord, and as we just, God, we thank you for every one of our youth. We thank you how you've moved. God, we thank you how you've brought them through things and you've showed them things. And God, just to see how you work in their lives. And so, God, I pray that you would just protect their hearts and their minds as they go through the days. God, they would know that there is victory in the name of Jesus, that they don't have to battle, they don't have to lose the battle to the things going on in their lives and their minds because they have victory in you. I pray specifically over our three seniors today. God, again, thank you. Such a sweet time, God, you've allowed to me to see. And God, I pray as they move forward, that this ability to say, yes, Lord, whatever it is you have, Holy Spirit, continue to give them the power to do that. Use them in the mighty ways as they move forward, as they go to wherever it is they're going. God, they would be lights. God, they would be beacons. God, that show Jesus to the world. Selfishly, God, I pray that, you know, a year from now, the two that go to Fort Collins, that they'll come back. But God, I know they're willing to say, yes, Lord, wherever you go, and God, we'd be proud. And for Levi, God, whatever time you keep him at this school, God, may he be a light. May he continue to say yes. God, may the gifting you've given him in sports be used for your glory, and may he proclaim your name in everything he does. And God, as we worship, Holy Spirit, speak, continue, church, to pray over each other as we worship. Listen for words of encouragement that God might be given to you to give to somebody else today. May we continue to do that as we sing praises to you as we wrap up. In Jesus' name.